Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Messy & Co. live stream edition, post-game reaction to what was an edge of your seat, crazy, goal-filled Florida derby. Except maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't. But anyway, before we get into that, Gian, how are you doing on this fine Wednesday evening?
I wish I was daydreaming like you are about a different game.
But thriller, yeah.
Yeah, about a thriller. But no, I'm good. I'm definitely good. It was an interesting game. I think it was, you know, it was everything we thought it would be in the sense of it was competitive. It was hard fought. It was tough. Both teams showed that they wanted to win it. And I think that you want to see a competitive game. Like it stinks that, you know, obviously we dropped points. It stinks that we didn't score goals. It stinks that this team looks completely different without Messi. But again, at least, you know, we had some players come back and put some minutes in. But, you know, a lot to talk about. Just not the best Inter Miami team we've seen in a bit.
Yeah, it's interesting because even though it obviously ended up being a dud in terms of performance and nothing crazy from that sense, there seems to be even more to talk about than normal. Like so many things happening. I mean, first of all, and the most obvious is that Messi didn't play. Messi didn't travel with the team. I guess maybe they were being precautious with his knock that he picked up in the game Saturday, knowing that they have a lot of games coming up in the next few weeks and wanting to obviously maximize his availability before Copa America. And look, when we played Orlando City last, we beat them 5-0. So it's an understandable decision that they made, thinking, you know, that they had enough without him. And when the game started, I think they did. They did have enough without him. And look, in the third minute of the game, Suarez had a chance, and it was, you know, a great save by the goalie. Orlando had their fair share of chances too. But in the end, you know, it just became kind of sloppy. Everyone didn't want to take the game on, right? Like no one wanted to step up and make the game theirs. I think Matias Rojas tried a few times, but just didn't have that sort of like final bit of composure that we're used to seeing with him. The good news, I'd say the bad news is that it's bad that we couldn't create chances without Messi when we did in the previous game. And you know, we still had enough offensive firepower where we should have. But a big positive is that, look, we got a clean sheet, one we haven't had in a while, and the defense absolutely stepped up. And while there's negatives and, you know, lots to comment on different performances, the clean sheet's certainly a bright spot. We see a couple comments about that already. Defense showed up. Bright side is clean sheet, 100%.
It was nice to get that clean sheet finally. I think that there were definitely opportunities for Orlando, but we saw that this defense was able to get back in time. They were able to take care of those chances that Orlando was getting. I mean, you can't ever expect an opponent not to get chances. That's just part of soccer. They're going to. It's kind of how you respond to those opportunities. Mm-hmm. Are you going to let them happen? Are you going to run back in time to, you know, we had defenders sometimes get beat, but they didn't give up and they got back and they were able to tackle. We saw Aviles with a beautiful tackle. We saw Busquets get some. I think everybody
great
up on the defense, and it was really nice to see where the defense has been one of the pieces where us and fans and others have been very critical of Inter Miami, and they did their job very well against a team that, or an Orlando team that was really trying to attack hard, and they were going at us from all sides. They were attacking on the left when they were attacking on the right. They were attacking down the middle. They were pressing us. They were doing all types of things to make it difficult on Inter Miami. And even from a defensive standpoint, as far as like controlling their offense, but I think they also did a really good job at coming out and building out from deep on their side of the field, transitioning from defense to offense. That's something that this team has also had issues with, where, you know, you don't have a goalie in calendar that other teams might have that can kind of are really good at passing, right? That can pass out to the fullbacks, or can pass straight to the forwards. Like, we don't have that. So it becomes a bit more difficult in that aspect. But I think today this team really was able to build out of the back, and that's something that they worked on this last week in practice, is touching and coming out without losing the ball. How many times did we see Inter Miami get pressed trying to build out of the back and lose a ball? There were not that many times. I know we had one with Gressel right there But outside of that one, I don't think we had too many of those. So I think that that was great to see as well.
Agree. Yeah. I mean, you let us know in the comments. I'm curious, what do you think is the positive from this game outside of the defense? What other things did you like? Because it's really interesting because, you know, when we look at the last game, yeah, we were disappointed in some of the play, but one, Messi was there, and two, we won the game. And so it's hard after that to be so mad about X, Y, and Z, right? But today we didn't win, we didn't score. But, and this is a big but, although it seemed on paper, look, we beat them 5-0, we've been on the best, you know, we've been in the best form, this and the other. It's an away game. It's midweek. It's a derby against our fiercest rival, and we don't have Lionel Messi. If I gave you those four caveats or four things that would happen, and if I said, you know, we didn't lose, we tied, they didn't score on us, we kept a clean sheet, what would you say?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, when you really put it into context, it ends up being a good result. Anytime you go and play away and you come back with a point, it's a good result. And the same thing when we went early on in the season, where we went into LA and came back with a point, it's the same thing. I think that those are good results.
This is our fiercest rival.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, it's a good result. I think that it's something, you know, you could have easily dropped points because you've had numerous games this season where, you know, when you're without Messi, you're either losing or you're dropping some points. Like we lost against, I believe it was New York without Messi. We lost against Sporting KC without Messi. And again, this is Orlando. It's not just anybody. And we know that Orlando maybe wasn't in the best shape, even though they're coming off a win, I believe, against Philadelphia. But slowly but surely, they've been climbing up in the standings. Yeah. And anytime they play against Miami, especially after losing 5-0, they want to defend their stadium, Inter and Co Stadium, because we actually haven't won a game there. So, you know, it's going to be a difficult game. So I'm proud of this team, but I think that two things can be true. I think you can be proud of this team coming out with a point in a difficult game, but at the same time, you can identify areas where they can be better and much improvement is needed. So
100%.
Which is the midfield is one of them, most definitely.
100%. 100%. Yeah. I just want to say before we continue, my hair looks really good. I did a nice job styling it. So
it's a, what do they call it? It's a filter. Don't lie.
No, change, it's not a filter. see, this is what happens when you just look at yourself for an hour straight. It's, you know, it's about being superficial. But anyways, agree with everything you said. I think both things can be true. You know, to one point, I'm very happy with their defensive performance. I'm happy we didn't let the moment get to us. I'm happy we got a point. I'm happy that we saw some players come back from injury and put in good performances. What I didn't like is that I think that in the final third, everyone became a little too scared to maximize the opportunity. They didn't play with the same fearlessness they play with Messi. And I get it, because when you have Messi, you it's like you have like a, what's the term in golf? Like a gimme, or what, there's like a term for it, whatever. Like,
I don't play golf. I play mini golf.
It's like when you get a free shot, like everyone knows, oh, like, you know, I have this because I have Messi playing. And so I'm not worried.
Yeah, yeah.
Suarez, you know, he only played 60 minutes. In hindsight, people can be like, why'd you take him off when you didn't have Messi? Look, Suarez has played a ton of minutes this season consistently. And in a game like this, when it was 0-0, and you knew you had a game on Saturday that was going to be very important, he made the business decision and said, I'm giving Campana the minutes. And you know what? Campana did a good job. He did good hold-up play. He didn't – he had almost – it was this close to an opportunity with the perfect link-up play between Busquets and Alba on the left side, something we've seen a million times. Alba slots the perfect – pass in, and just an inch away from Campana being able to finish it off in the goal. A game of this close, you know.
I don't know if this would be disagreeing 100% with you, but I don't think Campana had a good game. I don't think he's a reason they lost. I think that Campana, ever since Suarez joined this team, I think the lack of minutes, I think, has taken a toll on his
confidence.
I think it's taken a toll on his confidence. We're not seeing the Campana that we saw, especially towards the end of last season, where he would make something out of nothing. He would make the runs. Like, he now, if you're looking at him, and I don't know how much of it is because of what Tata is telling him to do, but he's more focused on like the defense. I find him a lot of times like out of place. He's not in the correct spots to receive a pass. A lot of times everybody else is in front of him. He's almost like at the midfield. Like I don't understand that. I think that he's more worried about that. And he's not finding the spaces. He's not making the runs. And he's not getting as many goal chances as he was creating at towards the end of last season. So I think that part of that has got to be probably with him losing his confidence due to Suarez. I don't think he had a good game. I don't think he was awful either, but I don't think he had a good game. And as far
as maybe it's because we're also comparing it to, you know, one of the greatest and most ruthless goal scorers and finishers of all time. You know, it like changes the level.
It's no, like, but I'm not comparing him to Suarez. I'm comparing him to literally himself. I'm comparing him to last season Campana. It's not the same Campana. It's not the same runs. It's not the same. And I hate to use this word, but it's like, so it's not effort maybe, but it's just him trying to make himself part of the offense. He's just more concerned with other things. And I think that when you don't have a reference point in the center of the area, it's tough.
Yeah.
Like it makes it more tough. And I also think if we can go back to like Negri and his play, obviously this game is different with Alba, because one of those chances that we had, we only had 3 shots on target. And then we had a few other chances, but one of those chances, Negri gets the ball, beautiful pass by Rojas, gets the ball right in front of the goal. If that's Alba shooting it and probably scoring it. We've seen him score from that angle. Negri puts a ball back into, I think it was Robert Taylor, who was covered and ends up getting blocked. Like that was that was a poor decision. So I think that, you know, with Alba, the game would have been a bit different. I don't understand why Alba didn't play from the beginning, where they said that this last game, they were going to rest him one more game, which was last game.
Yeah.
Good to go. I don't understand why he didn't play. Maybe it was because of the Saturday game.
Yeah, I was going to say, look, I mean, I have to imagine it was a fitness reason. I think that, look, to Tata's credit, or, you know, without blaming Tata, Negri has been playing very well. Like, you know, Negri up until this game hadn't done anything wrong. And to understand that maybe with Alba's age and the injury, they wanted to slowly get him back in, maybe, look, Negri did not play well tonight. He could tell in the beginning that he was tired and it was just a game too far. And he just didn't have like that belief in the final product.
They played through him a lot though. Like,
he couldn't do it. But you know, I don't think Tata could have known that he was going to just like completely collapse during the game. Like, to be honest with you, I think Jordi Alba will 100% be starting on Saturday. That I can tell you.
Think Negri collapsed? Like, you think?
I don't mean not collapsed in a bad way, but like he just there was open. Like it was open season for him to make all the runs in the first half, and after he like muffed the first one, they like he wasn't seeking them out as much, and he was getting nervous. So I think he just like psyched himself out, and I think he just had tired legs.
Is it weird that they don't play enough on the right side? Like I don't know why they don't go through Chelo that much. Like they force feed that left side so much, and Chelo is almost left hanging out like dry fruit the most of the game on the right side. I don't understand that, which inadvertently also affected Rojas, because the left channel and wing was where most play happened. They showed a graphic during the game. Through halftime, it was at 54%. 54% of the flow went through the left side. Obviously, Rojas is on the right side. So if we look at the previous games where Rojas had the most success, where he had his shots, where he had those amazing passes, he was playing on the left. Now, this game, he's playing on the right, but the play is still, most of the play that for Inter Miami is still on the left. And I think that you noticed that Rojas wasn't as involved as he typically was these last few games that really hyped us up. We were like, look at Rojas, the best thing that happened in Inter Miami in the past, like the season and all this type of stuff. But they didn't use him that much. Despite that, he got some great passes though. But imagine if we would have used him more. They weren't getting him the ball enough.
I can tell you a theory I have, and we disagree on this. I'm going to say it now, or maybe we don't disagree 100%. You know what I'm going to say. It's not that I disagree 100%. I don't think Gressel is playing well enough. I'm just going to say it. And look, I can name off the top of my head, 3 brilliant passes in this game. 3. 1 in the first half, 2 in the second. Brilliant passes. And he deserves credit for them. But, and I was even texting this to you in the first half of the game, I didn't see him until he made that mistake in the 30-something minute that was almost a counterattack goal.
Yeah.
I did not see him for the first 30 minutes. And if I can't see him, that means probably neither can our defense and Busquets. And if they can't see him, then it can't get to him. And if it doesn't get to him, it can't get to Rojas. So, like, yeah. That's me kind of giving a domino effect. But Gressel has played well for a lot of the season. He's been incredibly consistent, and he's been a good presence, and he's been a good balance. However, he is not holding up his end of the bargain right now from an offensive standpoint, and he's slow. He's slower than a lot of players, and he's not creating opportunities for the wing. And when you have Messi play, it makes a difference. Messi covers up a lot of mistakes of many players of, you know, his whole career, because he's just that good. And when Suarez is there and Busquets, the three of them can paper over a lot of cracks. But in a game like today, when you don't have him, there was no way to get from the midfield and from incredible play by Busquets, Aviles, Freire, Kremaski, who played, I think, really well. The four of them played really well. On the right side, there was no conduit to get to Rojas and to Suarez. Gressel just wasn't getting in the right spots. And then on the left side, like we said, Negri just was a step too slow, lost a little bit of confidence. And so when you put all of those things together, it caused it to be really disjointed and not being able to your point, get balance on both sides. So in my opinion, he made a couple great passes, a couple great corners. But especially when Messi isn't playing, I think there needs to be more rotation there, or he needs to play as the right winger, because he's not creating the separation in the right position in the midfield on the right side. He's just not. I don't see him anywhere, and I'm watching it, hoping to see it.
Which I thought was strange, because if I also think that Gressel didn't have his best game today, and I'm just surprised that they wouldn't try to get Cello more involved, like have Gressel kind of take the space that Cello would leave behind, and Cello kind of play higher. They didn't really do that, which is weird. And yeah, that definitely affected the ability for Rojas to end up getting the ball. One of the things they could have done is maybe, like you said, maybe move Gressel to the right wing, which they did that one match this season. I remember when Messi wasn't playing as well, it was Gressel up top, and maybe Rojas could have played in that position. One of the things I don't think, though, and you mentioned that Kremaski played amazing. I don't think Kremaski played amazing. I think
really,
Kremaski, yeah, I don't think he played amazing. I think he looked off actually. I don't think he had a bad game.
That's what's good about sports. They're subjective. Like, that's the point. You know, we all see different things. It's good. We always normally agree. So this is good. Yeah.
But I think Kremaski, I don't think he had a horrible game, but I just think that you can notice that he's still coming back from injury. I think that you can notice that he's getting more minutes than maybe his body feels, I think, good enough to play. He was just a tad bit off. I didn't see his you know, when he's in tip-top shape, he really places nice passes and he's able to be more effective on offense. I didn't think that he was that effective on offense. I think that you can see the difference between this game and last game, where he got those second half minutes, he looked fresher and that sort of thing. Because after maybe 30, 40 minutes, I think that he was gassed, and I think that he was tired. And I think it would have been better to ease him in still and still have him as that like super sub coming in the second half. But
I just think with Messi not playing, they couldn't have risked it. But I think him and Rojas were kind of both taking turns trying to fill that number 10 role on certain possessions. I don't know. I thought Kremaski had a pretty good game. Although I think compared to his counterpart, like compared to Gressel, I think that he had to try, like, I'm just telling you now, he had to make up a lot of space, and so did Rojas. Like, Gressel just doesn't feel the space. I watch it every single play, and I've watched it for the last few weeks. When they're asking him to create space and create that transition, he just doesn't. I see he's slow to the ball when he's playing defense, and when he's on offense, he is not creating pockets of space to get the ball and make a pass forward. He's just not. And because of that, everyone else is trying to compensate for it. And so I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what the change looks like. Maybe in a situation like that, it could be like Kremaski and then Ruiz both play at the same time, and Kremaski kind of takes over Gressel's role and like it's almost like that kind of like number 10 when Messi doesn't play, I mean. But yeah, I don't know. I thought he's making good progress every week. So I was happy with it. I want to say a couple comments here that we've seen. Tomas Aviles had his best game of the season to me. He played today like the young DP defender, hungry, smart, tactical player that we knew he was to be. And look, we talked a little bit in the beginning of the season. He wasn't showing up as much as I wanted to. In the last few weeks, his partnership with Freire has been really good. Yes, they've gotten scored on, but they've been developing more and more. Today, he showed out. Nothing got past him. He had incredible one-on-one tackles. He was always in the right space. He was always making the right pass. I think he was man of the match. I really do. The best game I've seen him play.
Oh, yeah. I've always been a fan of Aviles. And he's a U22, not a young DP, but he's
a U22, yes.
He's really good. And I think that one of the few things that he has to just understand and I think it's part of him growing up, because we have to remember he's still very young. I think part of his growing up and I think getting more minutes and more experience is him realizing to control his aggression and control his yellow cards, because the team needs him on the field. And today he did a good job. I think he was able to control his aggression to be I think he was able to read a lot of the plays. He didn't give up on anything. He was getting involved on the other side of the field where it wasn't necessarily his position to cover up spaces for other defenders. So I think he did a great job. He was all over the place. And I think it showed with him kind of leaving too and getting subbed, because he was exhausted. He was all over the place, covering up a lot of ground. And one of the things I think would be the next progression in his game is his ability to pass. I think that that's something I'd like to see out of him as we move forward, is him being able to play the long ball. And that's something that Inter Miami doesn't have, and just adds another dynamic. Right? We know that we had that with Kamal Miller before, you know, he left, but we don't have a center back right now that can just bypass the midfield and connect with the forwards. And there are teams out there in MLS that we've seen that can do that. I think that would be the next step. And it's early in his career where he can still develop that, I think. But he's just amazing. He's great. And anytime he's starting, it's scary hours for the defense.
Yeah. I mean, look, Christophe came in and gave good 10 minutes. Obviously it was the end of the game, but he did some good game. Someone else who had a really good game that we haven't spoken about in a while is Drake Callender. Drake Callender proved or showed today that although he's had a shaky couple of weeks, even with us winning, you didn't feel as confident in him as he did before. In today's game, he just shows that he really is one of the best shot stoppers in the MLS. Maybe if you want to talk about his overall game, maybe there's mental lapses, maybe not great distribution, X, Y, and Z. You know, they're fair discussions. But in terms of just a pure shot stopper, when he's getting shots on target in the box, I think he's a top five in the MLS. I really do. Like, he just was on top of everything today, definitely prevented a few chances, and was instrumental in the clean sheet.
Oh, yeah. You know, that. I mean, it's funny how the narrative changes. You know, before these mistakes that he had, you had full confidence in him. Everybody was talking about how great of a goalie he was, how we needed to make sure that we kept him under any circumstance. And then he had a few mental lapses, a few issues with bad passing out of the back and turning the ball over, getting scored on, that what happened in Monterrey. And that kind of changes everybody's perception of him. And we easily forget how good of a goalie he is. So it's nice to see him, I think, have a good game. And one of the things that you expect from these guys, especially when they're professionals, you know, they might have a stretch of games here where maybe they're not at their best, but it's how they bounce back. And I think as long as he bounces back and he builds on the good game that he had today, I think we'll easily forget about those, you know, those lapses in judgment that he had over the last few games. And then him too, you know, we're talking about Aviles and him hopefully adding to his repertoire the long pass. I think that that's obviously something that Callender can do too, because Callender also is not known for that. That's something that he struggles with. We know that when he has the ball at his feet to start the transition into offense, teams know that he lacks the ability to get, you know, those good passes out maybe to the wings or straight to the forwards, and they'll press, and that's where it becomes difficult, because they press, our fullbacks push up, our two center backs split left right. Busquets has to drop down a lot to try to help out and get that ball in transition. And that's where the issues happen, because as soon as Busquets drops in between the center backs and they throw in an extra man to press, that's where they can cause issues if they press Busquets and then Busquets loses. So I think that if Callender can get better at that, then that is going to alleviate that danger, that immediate danger that we get anytime we're playing out from deep. But other than that, he's definitely been great. And right now he's, you know, they've talked about him maybe needing competition to get better. I'm not 100% sure about that yet.
I wouldn't take him out.
He's still the number one guy. And I don't think right now Inter Miami is interested at all in looking for someone to replace him.
Totally agree. No, I agree. And look, you know, for Drake Callender, he's still young. He's still in his early 20s. If in the next 12 to 18 months, he takes the next step in terms of his distribution, he'll be in Europe. No doubt. He's that good of a shot stopper. You know, I know people want to give him crap sometimes, but he's that good of a pure shot stopper. Get him a little bit better with distribution, he'll be playing in Europe. Let's stick, though, with positivity. We've talked about some negative points and we're seeing some comments and maybe a couple things to circle back on. Another player I want to talk about who I thought had a fantastic game and who has been having fantastic games the last few weeks is Sergio Busquets. Sergio Busquets has been able to really become comfortable in his role in the midfield, understanding, especially in the 4-3-3, exactly where he's needed, both defensively and playmaking. And no matter who's on the pitch, no matter what the formation, no matter what the, you know, what the flow of the game is, he's making the right decisions. And he had a little bit of a slow start to the year, you know, getting accustomed. But in these last handful of games, just shows why he's one of the best players to ever play his position in the history of soccer. And it's just great to see.
Yeah, he's the guy that connects the defense to the offense, especially when you in these types of games, you know, where you're lacking Messi, you're lacking creativity, but you have Gressel not being at his best today and helping connect. I think he's the guy that connects those two. And obviously, that just like you said, on defense, he's a guy that has to, a lot of times, enables a lot of the offense because he's the one that drops back in to help the center backs. That allows guys like Chelo to push up, guys like Negri to push up. So he's all over the place. He's box to box. We've seen him once or twice this match where he actually ran and dribbled past a few and got into the final third. So he's all over the place. He's even pressing. He drops back in defense. Then he presses high up. A lot of times, if you notice, the responsibility to press the build from Orlando actually fell on him, where Klimaki and Gressel were actually staying in the midfield, and it was Busquets was the one that was going up to pressure with Suarez and pressure with Robert Taylor. So he's all over the place. And the fact that he's been so so dependable,
consistent,
it's just crazy. At his age, he's played more minutes than a lot of the young guys. He's there week after week, playing basically all 90 minutes.
Yeah.
At his age, I mean, it's incredible. And he's taking some knocks. He's been hit.
He's taking knocks. He's been very efficient, though. You can see he's becoming super, super efficient with his time. Like he's choosing his runs carefully. He's choosing his passing carefully. Yeah. He's choosing his tackling carefully. Just been an absolute masterclass. And look, you know what? 0-0 draw, not the result we were looking for, but we just named three players that could easily be man of the match and played such amazing performances. Tomas Aviles, Drake Callender, Sergio Busquets. Important, because those three pieces are going to be there for the next, you know, for the rest of the season when Lionel Messi is not for part of it. So very important. I do think, I know it's like we keep saying it and it doesn't necessarily happen. I think we're getting close to a point where Tata is going to rotate Julian Gressel in some sense. And again, it's like, I hate to say it, like we're picking on him, because, you know, I know people in the comments say it, people on Twitter, you know, to be fair, Julian Gressel, like we've said, he's been very balanced, very consistent, hasn't made too many, you know, glaring mistakes, but hasn't made too many amazing chances. He gets a couple good passes in, but he's played almost every minute of this season. And for that reason alone, he needs a little bit of rotation and rest. Tata needs to bring out some changes, some opportunities. I think we should be able to see a midfield of Rojas, Busquets, Kremaski, or Ruiz, Kremaski, and Busquets, or, you know, different combinations of that. I think that he's just not creating enough space, and he's not giving other people chances to maximize their place. You know what I mean? It's not so much that he's doing things so wrong. It's that I think he's just negatively affecting the opportunities of the players around him. So it's like a lot of little things. You know what I mean? Like, I can't just be like, wow, Gressel, he's horrible. He gave up 2 goals. He got a red card. Like, he didn't run back. Like, it's none of those things. It's not. But he's just not doing enough to help it take it to that next level where everyone else, I think, is trying to get to that spot and make that right decision and play the progressive from the back ball, create the openings. And he just seems like a step behind.
Yeah, I think Russell is going to continue to start until Copa America is over, in my opinion. I think once Maybe. Copa America.
Well, and we see when Rolando comes back and Gomez comes back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that once that's, you know, Copa America is done and everybody's available, and by that time Gomez will be back from injury, so will Redondo. Like, and Redondo might be back sooner than that.
Redondo's, but, I think when Redondo's back, you're going to see Redondo, Busquets, and Kremaski. I think.
Well, because you're saying that Messi would be away in Copa America, because if Messi's around,
If Messi's around, then it's
Robert Taylor or Rojas. That's the interesting thing. Like, do you think Rojas is gonna play as the left wing?
Yeah.
Or do you think Robert Taylor is still gonna be there and Rojas is gonna be in the midfield?
I think you'll see different combinations of it. I do think that, like, if we get Redondo back and we have Messi, I think Kremaski stays in the lineup and Gressel is on the bench. I really genuinely think that. We'll see. Time will tell. But
Kremaski's a bench player this season for me. Once everybody's healthy.
Yeah, but if it's him versus Gressel, I don't think so.
No, but Gressel will be sitting right next to him. They'll be talking to each other on the bench.
It's going to be a while until we get Gomez. So, you know.
Yeah, no, but once it comes back, that's what I'm saying. I think once Copa America is done, I think around that time is where we should have everybody back and healthy. Yeah. Fingers crossed. So at that point, that's where Kremaski and Gressel are on the bench. And then you have Rojas, you have Gomez, you have Busquets, and you have Redondo. I think those four, they have to be on the pitch at the same time once fully healthy, in my opinion.
I think that, yeah, I mean, well, look, the starting midfield is Busquets, Redondo, and Gomez, 1,000%. And then, like, 1,000%, and Rojas on the left, and Robert Taylor on the bench. I think the first two players to go on the bench as we get players back is Robert Taylor is probably first, because as soon as Messi's back, Rojas is taking the left-wing position, Robert Taylor's on the bench. I think when Messi's not there, you're going to see Taylor play, and you're going to see Rojas on the right.
Dude, Gressel, imagine when everybody's healthy. Gressel coming off the bench in the 70th minute to put the game away. You're up a goal. You're up 2 goals. That, to me, is a perfect role for Gressel.
Yeah.
Perfect role. 20 minutes left. You want to ice the game. Gressel comes in. To me, that's the perfect role for him.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, I agree. So. And I think that, look, if Messi if Messi's back and available, I actually think you may see a situation where it's actually Rojas, Redondo, and Busquets, and there's no Kremaski either. But all of this to say, Gressel, I think, has a place in this team, but he just can't keep starting every single game because I just don't think he creates enough movement and spacing. And, you know, when you have Messi playing, when you have Messi and Rojas playing and Suarez, it makes up for the mistakes, you know? It's like, this is a great point, how Columbus Crew used him last year. They used him as a super sub. He came in the 70th minute of almost every game, made a huge impact. They won.
Yeah. It's different right now. They're depending on him too much because of the injuries. But the injuries, I mean, even if once we have Gomez and Redondo back and Rojas and them all playing, I think even at that point, like, this team would miss Messi. Once, if Messi's not playing,
I think any team that breeds will miss Messi.
No, of course. But if Messi's missing, but you have, instead of Gressel and Kremaski in the midfield, you have Gomez and Redondo. Right, like that's a completely different thing. Like, again, we miss Messi, but the impact of his departure won't be as big as when you don't have that. Redondo, we saw his playmaking. It's insane. He's amazing. With Rojas and Gomez, it's a different team. But it's
this may be the comment of the night. Rojas, Redondo, and Boosie, those wankers will be amazing. What part of the UK are you from, Michael? Because your comments all night have really made me laugh. And as someone who lived in the UK, I'm recognizing a lot of this. So, and if I'm wrong, you tell me, but it sounds like you're from the UK. Here's a good point. That is something to keep in the back of our minds by Upcode Series. Will Gomez ever come back though? Copa, then Brian. That's something that at this moment in time, Diego Gomez is an Inter Miami CF player and he's injured. Don't know if he's going to be well enough by the time Copa America comes. He probably will be, but or he'll at least travel with them and come into the team when they can. But after Copa, could he be immediately sent to Brighton? Look, it's possible. And if that's the case, then, you know, you'll see more minutes out of Gressel for sure. And you'll see, you know, they figure it out. But look, I want Gomez to stay because he's just been such a bright light. But if he leaves and we get value from him and we maybe signing one of those big names we talked about from Europe this summer, that may be how it goes. But as of today, he's an Inter Miami player. And so we will talk about him as such until that changes.
Yeah. And Michael, I'd like to say, as someone who ate an English breakfast in London last year on vacation, you've also made me laugh. So
I just are you saying that I was trying to be...
I just wanted to add
a little snooty.
No, I'm saying I also laughed. I once had an English breakfast in London.
Well, that's that from Ireland. So, very nice. What part of Ireland? I'm going to be in Ireland in a few months.
Ireland.
Okay. I know. And this is also a really good point because Gian, you said you listened to the Spanish broadcast, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
So, Zeven and Twelman, I was listening obviously to the English version and yeah, Taylor Twelman's a hater. He just is. But I think that's really? Kind of. But you know,
I've heard, but I don't listen to him.
I think that's like his like shtick, though. It's like, you know, kind of like Gary Neville in the UK. Like he kind of just is the person who like kind of makes like scruffy remarks and not you know, like plays devil's advocate. You know, speaks his mind. Like there was in the middle of the game, he goes, like for example, one of the players on Orlando when they came off. You know, he took his time and he's like. Just like they did to Luis Suarez, he should have been given a two. And he said it so strictly. And I'm like, relax. Like, yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, they probably exacerbated it because it was Luis Suarez who does antics. But, like, relax. It didn't change the game. Like, and he just is so serious sometimes. I'm like, girl, you need to relax. But
you brought something up. Well, I don't even know. But it reminded me of. So Suarez, and not Suarez, Messi was on the ground last game. For over 2 minutes, or for a certain amount of time with this.
I know what you're going to say. I'm not
100% familiar on this thing. He went out and he was told he had to wait 2 minutes before coming in. Okay,
doesn't apply to goalies.
Okay, that's what I was going
to
ask.
No, it doesn't apply to goalies. You have to have a goalie in the game, so they wait.
Okay, I was going to say
that's for everyone. Like it actually happened yesterday in the Man City versus Tottenham game. The Man City goalie was hurt. Like. Once he's better and like even if a training comes on or whatever, like they don't take him off. He immediately slots back right back in the game. So no, the role doesn't play to goalies.
I wanted to address this. It says Ash and GM, both your predictions were wrong, but yeah, Messi was not. So I'd like to
no
say,
shit,
I didn't tell anybody, but I changed my prediction before the game started. Once I found out Messi wasn't going to be around, and it's crazy, it's insane. I actually guessed 0-0. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tweet it. I kept it in here, but it's insane. I don't know how
thumbs
I did it.
Thumbs down in the chat, please. Thumbs down in the chat.
0-0. It was just, it's crazy.
Don't listen crazy. To
I
this.
I don't know how I guessed that.
To this so egotistical that man. No, there's no, we were wrong. No one in the comments predicted 0-0. It was kind of disappointing, obviously. I think especially in the first 20 minutes, we had a couple opportunities that, especially if Messi would have played, I think they would have been finished and I think we would have jumped to an early lead. But such is life. Our defense played great. A couple components went really well. Dropped 2 points, but we didn't lose. playing against your rival in a derby midweek and after a 5-game win streak, playing difficult games, summer in Florida, like, you know, these are all real things. No Messi, like, these are all real things. They're not made up, you know? And so sometimes while I think we're not really in the place where we want to drop points in these situations before Messi leaves, it's one of those games that I think you just have to live with.
Yeah, I'm looking
and at hope the changes, you know, Saturday put in a better result.
So Cincinnati won and they have 27 points. And then the New York Red Bulls won. That was a butt whooping, 4-1 against DC United.
Yeah. After so Benteke got his hat trick last week.
Yeah. So they're up to 23. So we're still in first in the East. I mean, we've got obviously one game extra in hand. Yeah. But we're still in first. Just now that that cushion kind of, you know, is going away. But hopefully we'll have Messi for a couple more games if he comes back. And I think he'll play Saturday. It's not that serious.
I'd be very surprised if he didn't play Saturday. You never know with Messi. You really never know. He's at a point in his career where I think he's actually probably this year and a little bit at Paris, but really this year is the first time you're really seeing him say, no, I'm not risking it, you know, and just knowing himself and his body and training staff know it. And, you know, he has the rest of his season. He most likely has next season, you know, as long as everything works the way it should. And he's still playing at a high level. He's about to play in Copa America at a very high level. He may play in the World Cup in 2 years. You never know. So, you know, games like this, you know, you can see him missing, especially when we won 5-0 last time. I think unless something drastic happens, you never know, but unless something like that happens, I expect him to be playing on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so as well. You know, obviously he's prioritizing his kind of last hurrah, it might be.
And trying to, you know, take care of himself and make sure he can play at a high level all the way through the season. You know, like, I think that he understands September and October, we're going to be in the playoffs. Hopefully we'll be the one seed, but we'll definitely be a top seed in the East. We're going to be in the playoffs. We're poised to make a deep run. He's going to be in Copa America in 2 months. Like, all of these things, you know, I think he's just trying to stay at the best level he can. And I get it. You know, I wish he played every game because I love watching him. And you obviously see the difference without him. But I expect him to play on Saturday.
I expect him to play as well. I mean, he played the entirety of that second half after getting injured in the 40th minute. Then he went to the Hard Rock. He did a few cannonballs. So he looked good there. And then apparently he was out for the first 15 minutes of practice on yesterday, I believe it was, but so were a lot of the other starters. And then apparently he did get on the field and he practiced. So yeah, it's just more of precautions, kind of like the same thing with Alba. He was ready to play. And because it was a midweek game, I guess they didn't want him to start and more out of precaution. He probably could have started the game.
Messi had to miss time in the beginning of the season because he was dealing with issues with his leg, I think. And he's been in such great form recently.
I feel like this was a knee knock too, if I'm not mistaken. I was trying to look at that injury. I think he was kicked or something in the knee. So it's probably like bruising, something like that, something that causes pain. You know, somebody was in the comments in our Twitter was saying something about like, because I was like, I tweeted something about him not wanting to risk it. And they said, well, he risked it playing in the second half. And I think what's most likely happened is you have to realize you have that adrenaline. It's once you finish playing, and for those of you that play sports, you know that you can get injured and you play.
The next morning is the worst.
It's all like, you know, if you've had your knee fill up with fluid before, that's terrible. If you've had a really bad bruise, that hurts. And typically that happens after the game. So that's probably what happened with Messi. He played through it and then afterwards was like, oh, dang, like I need to take care of this. So
And it was going to be a congested schedule. I think we play next Wednesday too, if I'm not wrong. So I think I'm not 100% sure, but I know in the next like 2 weeks we have at least 3 games. So makes sense. But look, this has been a great chat and I'm glad everyone's kind of given their opinion. The game was, you know, obviously not the shining star we hoped it would be, but we can take a lot of positives from it. A couple of negatives, but a lot of positives. We keep moving. We're first in the East. We got the draw. We, you know, We kept everyone who was available seemingly healthy. Suarez got a little bit of rest. Messi obviously got rest. I think we come back Saturday with a vengeance, put out a great team against DC, get right back on the winning trail. And, you know, like I always say, look at where we were this time last season. It's all perspective. You know, look at where we were 2 months ago, even. It's all perspective. 6-game win streak, 7 games unbeaten, huh? Pretty good.
That's a nice streak right there. Nice.
Pretty good. And look, like we said, quick turnaround. We have another. Oh, see, before I go, I must show this comment. Ashley and Gian, you both are so good. Got to see you on ESPN. I agree. Who needs Taylor Twellman? Sign me up. No, I'm kidding. He's a good guy. Thank you. We'll be back for another preview episode Friday. That will come out Friday. And then we have the game Saturday where we'll be both be in attendance providing live coverage, content, you know, thoughts, all those things. Hopefully we see a little bit more excitement, but games are coming thick and fast. It's an exciting time to be an Inter Miami fan. I think we'll see Messi again on Saturday. But yeah, thank you so much for watching. As always, please make sure you're following us on Twitter/X at Messi and Co. If you're not, what are you doing? That's where our best stuff comes from. Make sure you like this video. The liking the video helps so much. It moves us up in the algorithm. When people search Messi on YouTube, this video starts to come up. They join the community. They come and put their amazing comments in the chat. And it just creates this amazing environment that we want to keep building and building. Make sure you're subscribed. Notification bell on. 5 Reasons Sports. Make sure you're following us on TikTok. Messi and Co. 5RSN. I am Ashley. That is Gian. And we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.